Good afternoon, America, and welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You, my friends, are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are happy to have you on board. How is everybody doing today? Are you doing well? I'm doing well. I had a fantastic spring break. Just felt relaxed and refreshed, and we're back at it here. We are back in the saddle, full steam ahead. We have a gala coming up on Saturday of this week. It's probably one of our biggest fundraisers of the year, and so we are gearing towards that. If you're around here, if you're around this area, come out, be a part of it. Come out and support a classical Christian education. In my opinion, you know what I say about it. In my opinion, a classical Christian education is the best hope. It's the best hope for your child in the immediate, and it's the best hope for the country in the prolonged future. That's just the way I see it. I realize, I look around and I see where we are headed in the public institutions. I see where the public institutions are taking us. And it's my conclusion that this generation needs to be educated classically and Christianly. Did I just make a word up, Christianly? It needs to be a classical education, needs to be our foundation, a Christian classical education. Dean, you can't have Christian education in public schools. I mean, all right, but I've got an article here that I hope to get to today out of Oklahoma, where there is a Catholic school that has received a charter. Now, granted, the Oklahoma Attorney General is suing this school. He's suing the whole charter organization. I think we're going to dive into it here. I hope to get to it before the day is done. And I've got some information here out of Wisconsin that really just describes the horrific state of things. That Wisconsin Democrat governor. I don't understand when I look at the country and I look at the philosophical direction that two political parties want to take the country in. The party on the left wants to take the country down a path of destruction. Dean, why do you always have to get political? I don't know. It's just, I don't think I am political. I think I'm talking about culture. And the party on the left is anti-traditional American culture. Party on the right, while they're not perfect, I mean, there's some people on the right that are, be nice, Dean. Be nice. We know it. There's some Republicans that are just whack jobs. But for the most part, the party on the right wants to, loves traditional American family values. Now, look, I've got another article, and I alluded to this yesterday. This is out of South Carolina. South Carolina House passes bill to keep universities from hiring based on DEI principles. And at the onset, this headline sounds great to those of us that are anti-DEI, to those of us that despise racism and despise teaching our students how to be racist by hijacking words like diversity, equity, inclusion. These words have been hijacked by the left, and they've been turned upside down to be defined as something that they were not initially defined as or narrowly defined as. So here the article says the South Carolina House of Representatives passed a bill on Wednesday that would prohibit public universities from making hiring or promotion decisions based on diversity, equity, and inclusion. All right. And I guess this next paragraph goes to my previous point. The bill, which was passed 84-30, with opposition from the Democrats and support from the Republicans. All the Democrats were against this bill. The Democrats would rather public universities make hiring or promotion decisions based on diversity, equity, and inclusion principles, based on race, ultimately. That's what the Democrats want. The Republicans are like, no, it should be on merit. If you elevate or not elevate someone based upon the color of their skin, that's the definition of racism. But the Democrats are all like, yeah, you got to do that. I mean, you got to be racist. This is the same party, my friends. This is the party that created the Ku Klux Klan. We've talked about it here. Look, if you vote for Democrat candidates, I'm sorry. You're probably a really nice person. I know people. I have friends. I have relatives. They vote for Democrat candidates. They're nice people. They really are. They're just disillusioned. They don't understand history. They don't understand that they're voting for a party that is racist. Leaders. They're voting for leaders who are racist, and they're evil. Dean, why are you being so mean to the Democrats today? I don't mean to be mean to the Democrats. I don't. I just, you, if you, we have to call it out, you have to call it out as you see it. If you're the umpire and you're umping the baseball game, and you know the first baseman just keeps striking out by letting the umpire calls it a strike, you know, the guy at the plate's the first baseman, but he's at the plate, he's batting, and he lets the ball come over the plate, and the ump calls a strike, and then a strike, and then a strike. You can't say to the ump, why are you so mean to that first baseman? Well, the ump had to call it out. He had to call it like he saw it. First baseman comes back to the plate. Same thing. Strikes out just by watching the ball fall over the plate. You're so mean to that first baseman. Why you got to be so mean? He's not being mean to the first baseman. He's calling the balls and strikes as he sees it. And that's what's happening here. You can look at history and you can call the balls and strikes as you see them. And the Democrat Party is they're the party that hates America. They are the party of racism. They're the party that wants to kill babies. They're the party that is all for turning our children into something that they're not by encouraging them to become the opposite gender and then keeping that hidden from parents. This is that party. And here, and I've got an example of it coming out of Wisconsin. So here in South Carolina, all of the Democrats in the House voted against this bill, where the Republicans voted for it. The bill protects the free speech of both students and staff at public universities and requires universities to report on how much money they spend on DEI initiatives. Conservative members of the South Carolina legislature have previously pushed to strip all DEI-related funding from public universities. So, at the onset of the headline, you think, man, this bill's great. South Carolina is getting rid of DEI, and they're really not. They're just keeping universities from having the ability to hire and promote based on DEI, but they're not disposing of it altogether. So I don't know. The article said here, conservative members of the South Carolina, of the South Carolina legislature have previously pushed to strip all DEI-related funding. So who are the Republicans in the South Carolina House that aren't pushing to just get rid of DEI altogether? Who are these Republicans in the South Carolina House that were like, we can still have DEI, right? I mean, we'll just tell the universities, you have to track your spending. What are you spending on DEI initiatives? And so we can know how much you're spending. What's the point of that? Okay, this bill doesn't go far enough, in my opinion. South Carolina, let's find out who your who your House members are. Let's find out who are these quote unquote Republicans in the South Carolina House that are not, that are just not willing to go all the way and put DEI to rest in South Carolina. South Carolina House Democrats claim the bill is part of a push toward a far-right effort to make our college campuses less diverse, less equitable, and less inclusive. Well, no, but by removing racism, you allow for more diversity. You allow for more equity. You allow for more inclusion. But the Democrats, they get it wrong, and they always will get it wrong. So, but I'm interested, if you live in South Carolina, we need to find out who these Republicans are that are not willing to put DEI down. I mean, you've got a strong majority in the House and in the Senate. The article says, I think it says it's going to go to the Senate, which somewhere it says it gives us the numbers in the Senate. And I'll see it here. But nonetheless, oh, here it is. The measure now heads to the Senate for consideration, where Republicans hold 30 seats and Democrats have 15. So, Republicans, you control what's going on in South Carolina. So why aren't you willing, some of you guys in the House, why aren't you willing to just be done with this? Let's be done with DEI for public institutions. Do not be persuaded by these progressive Marxist leftists that are telling you, no, you got to keep it or you're going to be a racist. No, the exact opposite is true. The exact opposite is true. Can't trust these people. All right, so out of Wisconsin, the headline says the Wisconsin Democrat governor vetoes a ban on men and girls sports. The Wisconsin Democrat governor on Tuesday vetoed a ban on men playing high school athletic competitions on girls' teams. Tony Evers, oh man, we've talked about this guy before. Tony Evers had previously promised that he would veto the bill, which requires boys that want to be girls, high school boys who want to be girls, to play on sports teams that align with their biological sex. So this was the bill, and this governor here, Evers, said, I'm going to veto it because, if boys want to be girls, they should be allowed to play on those girls' teams. I'm vetoing this bill in its entirety because I object to codifying discrimination into state statute, he said. This type of legislation and the harmful rhetoric beget by pursuing it harms LGBTQ Wisconsinites and kids' mental health, emboldens anti-LGBTQ harassment, bullying, and violence, and threatens the safety and dignity of LGBTQ Wisconsinites, especially our LGBTQ kids. All right. It's discriminating when you say that, the man can't play on the girls' team, you're discriminating against that man. And this is what the journalism school, we talked about this yesterday, the Walter Cronkite School of whatever, I don't know, journalism, mass communication, whatever it's called out there at Arizona State University. It's got Walter Cronkite's name. The Walter Cronkite School of Journalism teaches their students that it is, it's just, what Evers said here. It's discriminating to tell a man that he cannot use a women's bathroom. You're discriminating against that man. Forget the fact that you want to protect privacy rights of all the women in the bathroom. Forget that. I mean, that's irrelevant. It's about that one man. And we can't offend that one man. This is so backwards and upside down. And here, Wisconsin, they had this. The bill had passed the Republican-controlled legislature last month. However, neither the state assembly nor the state senate has the two-thirds majority that would override a veto. So Evers has the power here. And Evers said he would continue using every power available. He added a dig at the legislature's Republican majority when he said, "We expect our kids to treat each other with kindness, respect, empathy, and compassion, and we should be able to expect adults to lead by example. I urge the Republican majority to do so, while fully considering the harmful consequences its efforts and actions have on our kids prior to introducing similar legislation in the future." I wonder if Evers would consider it to be a harmful consequence if a female athlete gets permanently injured by a male athlete in an athletic competition. Do you think he would consider that a harmful consequence? Republicans argued that women need separate sports teams in order to keep competition fair, which it just seems like common sense to me. It makes sense. Not only would it keep competition fair, but it's going to keep the ladies safe, both safe physically while in play and safe sexually in the locker rooms and bathrooms. But to their point on fairness, Joel Kitchens, who is a Republican here in the Wisconsin House, said men have major physical advantages. They're bigger, they're stronger, and they're faster. Title IX was created so that women can have the same access to the same advantages, the same character building that takes place in sports that men always have experienced. And now that's being stripped away from them by Evers, the governor here, because, oh, you can't discriminate against that boy who thinks he's a girl. At least 24 states have laws banning boys from playing on girls' teams in high school. 24 states. So we're halfway there. I mean, we're almost halfway there. And then, of course, the Biden administration is currently working on a rule to prohibit such state bans because he's a Democrat and this is what the Democrats want. They want to destroy female athletics. In recent years, several high-profile female athletes have spoken out about issues with men and women's sports, and we've covered this here. We've talked about this at length, but here's this example of the Democrat in charge here. Who just says, I think, I think the boys should be allowed to play with the girls on the girls' teams. Who cares? Who cares? I mean, you can't discriminate. Can't discriminate against that boy who feels like a girl. Oh boy. All right, I'm up against the break. I can't go long today. We're gonna pause here. We'll pick this up on the other side. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. 58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us. You can find us here Monday through Friday at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot. And we are happy to have you on board. Thank you for being a part of 8 glorious years. America Out Loud is celebrating 8 years. And that's a big deal. It's a big deal to, you know, for Malcolm and the team. I have not been here 8 years. I'm only celebrating, I don't know, what, 7 months. I'm probably the rookie at the network, but I'm happy to be a part of it. And congratulations to Malcolm and everybody at America Out Loud here for getting this done, for building this platform, for making this available to people, and just a wide range of talent here. I mean, holy smokes, the talent that is on this platform, that's on this network is, well, it's an honor to be here. It really is. For me, it's an honor to be a part of it. And I hope it's an honor for you to be a part of it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being one of the smart ones, because this is where smart people go to get their news and information. We say it here all the time, because it's true. This is a smart audience. So speaking of the smarts from this audience, there's some decent Q&A coming in, and I'd like you to keep it coming. Let's get this conversation going. I think maybe on Fridays, I don't know. I think we need to do some Q&A segments. I think we'll fire this up. So if you've got a question or even just a comment, if you go to the show page here, go to AmericaOutLoud.news. And you can go to my show page underneath, you know, where you see me. If you scroll down, there's a spot to enter comments, or there's a link there to my email. You can send comments to my email via that link, or you can just fill out the comment box. Let's get the discussion going. If you have a question, fire it in there. If you have a comment, fire it in there. And let's get some fun Q&A going. I'm for that, right? I want to have some discussion, even if you disagree with me. If there's something that I've said that, yeah, but here are the rules. If you disagree, you have to be civil about it. I don't want you to cuss me out. Okay. Don't cuss me out. Whatever you do, I just, you know, let's be civil. Let's use clean language. You can disagree with me and be clean about it. I can disagree with you and be clean about it. We can keep level heads. Feel free to disagree. That's the beauty of it. It's the beauty of free speech. It's the beauty of the First Amendment. Because if you allow somebody to say something that you disagree with, that truly is the definition of freedom of speech. I mean, if you want to shut people down who are saying things that you don't agree with, then that is not the definition of free speech. And some might say, well, Dean, isn't that what you do? Don't you want to shut the Democrats down? You know, this governor, who has banned this bill here in Wisconsin. This Democrat governor, Tony Evers, vetoed this bill. Now, the bill would put a ban on boys playing in the high school female athletics, and he vetoed it because, in his words, he didn't want to codify discrimination into the state statute, and it's discriminating against the boy. All right, so, you know, some people might say, well, Dean, don't you want to shut down their free speech by telling, no, he can say what he wants all day long. All right, yeah, you can talk critical race theory all day long. Dean, you don't want critical race theory being taught in schools. Well, that's true. That's true. I don't. But I don't care if you talk about it. I don't care if you believe in it. I just don't think it should be part of the educational platform that our kids are learning. You can be a racist if you want. It's a free country. Be a racist. I don't think that our kids should be taught to be racist. There's a difference. There is a difference. You know, say what you want to say. But according to the judge in California in the Temecula Valley case, critical race theory has no educational value or merit. And why? Because it's a lie. That's why. 2 + 2 = 4, my friends. And that is true education. When you're taught truth, then you're being educated. But if you go into that math class and that math teacher says to those students, boys and girls, 2 + 2 = 27. Well, we got a problem because truth is not being taught in that math class, and you wouldn't stand for it. There's not a parent on the planet who would stand for it, who would allow that math teacher to tell little Johnny that 2 + 2 = 27 to the point that little Johnny believes it. So why do we allow the history teacher to tell the students that, you know, the country was founded on slavery, or that in order to not be a racist, you have to be a racist against particular people? That is just upside down. It's or to tell Johnny, why is his name always Johnny? Well, we got to come up with a different name. Albert. I don't know. Yeah. Johnny's just easy to tell little Albert over there that he can be Alicia. That, my friends, is a lie. Why do we stand for this? Why do we, you people in Wisconsin, how is it that you're standing for this governor to veto this bill? We should be calling for his recall. Everybody who lives in Wisconsin should be demanding this man's recall as he promotes a lie that Johnny, yeah, or Albert, he can be Alicia and he should be able to play on Alicia's volleyball team. I don't care that he's 6'6" and he can spike the ball down the throat of any person on the court. I don't care if Alicia's going to, or someone on her team's going to be put in physical danger because Albert's out there and he's going to ram that. It's a lie. And as it being such, there's no educational value in it. Mm-mm, none at all whatsoever. So, and I talked about this yesterday, the country is becoming aware of it. Parents are becoming aware of it. Teachers are becoming aware of it. Students are becoming aware of it. So in Minnesota, the other day, I mean, this week, this very week in Minnesota, it was in this school district, Osseo, I don't know how to pronounce the school district. In this particular school district, they made this announcement that they're going to have LGBTQ lessons. And students, parents, and teachers rose up and said, no, because of deeply held religious beliefs, we don't want to be a part of it. Not just parents, not just students, but also teachers. And so they got a legal team. They got a group involved. And this group sent a 40-page demand letter letting the school district know that they were violating the rights of individuals by not letting them opt out. And that included teachers. Teachers should be able to opt out of these lessons. And the school district agreed. They said, okay, no, you can opt out. And that only happened because the eyes of parents are opening, and we're seeing it, and we're tired of falsities being delivered to our kids as truth. We're tired of it. Now, if this is coming up in a couple of weeks, Saturday, April 13th, at every single capital in America, every single state capital, including Washington, D.C., there's a rally at the Capitol sponsored by a group, a grassroots organization called Don't Mess With Our Kids. And it's basically just parents that are tired of it. It's parents whose eyes have opened and they're tired of what's happening to their children. They're tired of what's happening to their children in education. They're tired of what's happening to their children in the medical arena. And they're tired of what's happening to children and families in the halls of legislation. And they just want it to stop. And so the grassroots group is called Don't Mess With Our Kids. We're tired of it. We're done. Every single Capitol on April 13th will have a rally at the Capitol steps from 1 to 3. So no matter what state you live in, show up at the Capitol if this is a cause you believe in. If the cause of your kids is a cause you can rally behind, let's just show up in unity, in mass unity, not for any group, but for our children. Because, you know, we're done with it. We're tired of it. And again, I spoke about this yesterday. This is why there's such a resurgence in a classical Christian education. Because families want truth. They want their kids to learn about things that are true, things that are good, things that are beautiful, things that are wholesome. They want them to learn and read about men and women who are courageous, truly courageous, truly courageous, that are willing to do courageous things. It's not courageous to have surgery that will, you know, change your body parts. That's not courageous. No, that's something else. But that's not courage. No, true courage is stepping out and achieving things of value. You know, taking a risk and achieving something of merit, something of worth, something that's going to add to humanity, not take away from that. That's true courage. True courage is taking a risk and blazing a trail that others can follow, that takes them to good things. Mm-hmm. That takes them to prosperous things, that takes them to heights unknown. It's these individuals that do things that create this rising tide that lifts all boats, and it doesn't tear others down. It builds everybody up. That's true courage. And we need to read about men and women that go after true courage, because that then instills in us this ability to overcome fear with courage. And that's what kids need. That's what young men need. That's what young women need. They need to read and hear about people that overcame fear. And they weren't worried about what others said or did or didn't say or didn't do. This is a classical education. It's an education that pursues this type of environment. Now, there's an interesting situation brewing in Oklahoma. And I don't know if you know anything about this, but we're gonna dive into it here. The headline says, Oklahoma court weighs future of nation's first taxpayer-funded Catholic school. What do you think about this? How do you feel about this? Proponents of St. Isidore Charter School claim issue is religious freedom, while Oklahoma's attorney general says the real issue is separation of church and state. So here we go. This case, you know, we're going to follow it here. Statewide virtual charter school board voted last June in a vote of 3-2. The vote last June approved a charter for the Isidore of Seville virtual charter school. The school is sponsored by the Catholic Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and it will be Catholic in teaching, Catholic in employment, and Catholic in every way, according to its charter application. Now, what do you think about this? Because the charter school is legally, by all intents and purposes, it's a public school, receives public funding. And this charter has come from the Catholic Archdiocese of Oklahoma City. I'm intrigued by this. The Oklahoma Attorney General does not like it. Gentner Drummond, that's his name, Gentner? Holy smokes, what? Okay, maybe it's, I don't know, Drummond. We're just going to call him Drummond because I don't know that I'm pronouncing his first name right. He took his argument against publicly funding the religious charter school before the Oklahoma State Supreme Court. This was just a couple of days ago. He argued that the charter violates the U.S. Constitution's ban on establishing a state religion. Well, we know that's not the case, all right? We know that the U.S. Constitution does not ban a state religion. Doesn't say that. That's not its verbiage, Mr. Attorney General. What is its verbiage? You know, we've covered it at length here, that the Constitution says that Congress shall not prohibit the free exercise thereof. It shall not establish and prohibit the free exercise thereof. Now, it does say the word religion. And so if he says, you know, if the Constitution says that Congress shall not establish a religion, so he's saying that the U.S. Constitution has a ban on establishing state religion. No, I'm going to say no to that. Now, I know, I get it. I know the Supreme Court says it does. And I know the common thought of the day is that it does. But we know, in fact, that it does not. And we've detailed it here. We've gone through the debate. It's available. You can look at the debate. You can look at the language that the framers used. And you can see what they were debating. They were not debating a state-sponsored religion, because the country, according even to Supreme Court statements, according to both the House and the Senate, this is a Christian nation. It was founded on Christian principles. We know that. We've covered it. What the framers meant when they said that Congress shall not establish a religion, they were referring to a particular Christian denomination. Interesting. Every state had its own denomination, and it was in its own state constitution. You know, some were, you know, in support of the Quakers. Some states were in support of the Anglicans. Some, you know, were in support of the Baptists, some the Congregationalists. Each state, you know, had their own denomination that they favored. I mean, Maryland, and we talked about this the other day, Maryland was founded as a safe haven and a refugee for Catholics. So when the Constitution says Congress shall not establish a religion, they use the word religion interchangeably with the word denomination. And this is even in the debates. And why they chose religion over denomination, I mean, it would have saved a lot of hassle today if they would have gone with denomination, because it would have been clear. But because language has changed now, and now we deem religion as religion, you know, Christianity versus Judaism versus Islam, And so we take the word religion in its current definition, and we apply that to the First Amendment. Instead, what we should be doing is taking the word religion as it was defined by the framers of the First Amendment in the moment in 1787. And we should realize, look at the debate, and realize that they were using the word religion interchangeably with the word denomination. And then we would, it would be more clear to the leftist Marxists among us. I mean, they would still find a way to distort it. And they were successful in creating this whole idea that church and state should be separate, that you can't have any type of religious activity in the public square. They achieved victory here on this, mind you. They did. And so now you've got the attorney general here in Oklahoma that can argue that the charter violates the U.S. Constitution's ban on establishing a state religion. And I would really wish that somebody here defending the charter school would take, take case with that, that they would push back against that. I would love to see that being pushed back against, so we can start looking at this accurately, legally again. I would love for this to get to the Supreme Court. I wish an attorney would oppose that argument to its face. I think that needs to happen. All right, I'm up against it. We'll pick this up, this charter school situation in Oklahoma. We'll pick it up on the other side of this break. You're listening to The Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back. So we are discussing this situation in Oklahoma where you have a charter school which has been chartered strictly, and here's the language again in the charter application. This is called the St. Isidore Charter School. It will be Catholic in teaching, Catholic in employment, and Catholic in every way. All right, and the Attorney General here in Oklahoma is fit to be tied. This man is not happy at all. Under the Oklahoma Charter Schools Act, a charter shall be non-sectarian. This is what the Attorney General is saying. Charter shall be non-sectarian. Sectarian, of course, has to do with religion, the clergy. Charter schools shall be non-sectarian in its programs, admission policies, employment practices, and all other operations. Mr. Drummond has said the board members here have violated their oath to support the Constitution. I think they betrayed their oath of office, he said. I think they know they betrayed their oath of office because I told them they would. All right, so just because you say they're going to do something, they automatically know that that something is indeed a fact. Clearly, they disagree with you, and that's why they moved forward. He pointed out that the St. Isidore School Board would be subject to the state's open meetings and open records laws. In addition, the school would be required to follow state school financial accounting laws. Students would have to take standardized tests. Teachers would have to be certified and would qualify for state teacher retirement benefits. Retirement. I felt like Elmer Fudd there for a minute. The school would have to accept all students, and it would be prohibited from charging tuition. The state essentially can decide how the religious school can be run, Mr. Drummond said. The church and the state are joint ventures. Oh, we can't have that. Why, that's not allowed. Why, there's got to be a separation between church and state. This is his argument. He says the charter eviscerates the separation of church and state. It takes a sledgehammer to the wall. He didn't say that. Those are my words. But he used the word eviscerate, which is a strong, powerful verb. And we like it. We like his use of the verbiage here. But we just disagree with it. Justice Yvonne Cogger, sorry, Justice, I probably just destroyed your last name. Justice Yvonne Cogger pointed out that the case involves what would be the country's first publicly funded religious school. And she warned that the precedent could be very far-reaching, and this is why this is so interesting. This is why we're going to keep our eye on this. And it's not going to stop here, I promise you. It will not. This bad boy is probably going to the state Supreme Court. I mean, to the United States Supreme Court. It's going to go all the way up. Supporters of the plan countered that the approach Mr. Drummond was taking was much too severe. They claim the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that public money can be used for religious organizations that provide a public service. And education is a public service. Friends, I'm telling you, this thing right here could be a game changer. It could be a game changer in terms of what is allowed in public education. Now, to me, I'm still, I just want to pause here for a minute. I do want to get back into the article, but I want to pause here for a minute. I am still concerned about the voucher movement. I'm very concerned about public money spearheading and steering religious education. I am concerned about that. Not from the standpoint of separation of church and state, not from the argument that the Attorney General is making here. I'm concerned about it from the standpoint of government having control in the education. Now, he said it here. He said the state essentially can decide how the religious school can be run. And that's true here in this case. And that's what is concerning to me on the grand scheme of things. You know, at Waterbrook here, I'm not interested in taking public money because I don't want the state to then be able to tell me what I can and can't do with curriculum, what I can and can't do with religion, what I can and can't do with my Bible classes. I don't want it. I don't want them involved in interfering with this classical Christian education that is so excellent here. But the reason I say this could be a game changer is if the Supreme Court has indeed ruled that public money can be used for religious organizations that provide a public service, and education is a public service, this to me opens the door for the Matt Gaetz bill. This is why I say this could be a game changer, because this potentially opens the door. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, the Matt Gaetz bill, we went over this last fall, So at the Turning Point Action Dealio, whatever it was, Turning Point has every year, Matt Gaetz is there and he's speaking. He makes this announcement to all these kids, these high school, college age kids, that he's proposing that prayer be allowed back in public schools. The place erupts, it explodes. We pulled out, you know, his bill. Matter of fact, you can go back and find it in the podcast. I don't remember the week. I mean, we actually took a week. We set a week aside and we detailed historical support for his bill. Again, his bill was that prayer should be allowed back in public schools. And we talked about it historically from the standpoint that prayer once was in public schools. It was in public schools up until the 1960s, 1962. And the Bible was a textbook. It was part of curriculum in public schools up until 1963. I mean, these two laws, you know, were within months of each other. That the Supreme Court, to use Drummond's words, eviscerated prayer and the Bible and Christianity in public schools. It was a mainstay. And again, you can go back and you can listen to those. They're in podcasts. I think the title of them has to do with in support of Matt Gaetz's bill. And I think it took place September, October, August. Gee, I wish I could remember. Sometime in the fall. But we just laid this foundation in support of it. And this, to me, right here, what's happening here, could open the door for his bill to be an actual thing. For prayer to come back into public schools. Now, my conversation a few weeks ago with Alex Newman, where we were talking about the public schools, the metaphor he uses is it's a building and it's on fire, and you got to get your kids out. This, you know, but he did say, you know, we don't just get our kids out and then just let the building burn down with others in it. You know, we got to go back in. We got to save as many lives as possible, or we have to put the fire out. In my opinion, allowing prayer back into public schools is like bringing in the fire hoses and dousing the fire with water. To me, bringing prayer back into public schools would put out the fire. It would go a long way to putting out the fire. Now, obviously, the building is still run down. It's still destroyed. The building will have to be repaired. You know, just because prayer comes back into public schools, things aren't instantly hunky-dory. That's not the case. The building's got to be repaired. The whole structure is going to have to be repaired. But in my opinion, this is what puts out the fire, and it's what saves the day, is this bill that Matt Gaetz is proposing. And I think what's happening here in Oklahoma could be the door to that. Again, I want to reiterate, I am not for public funds being used in religious education, not because of a separation of church and state issue, but because I don't want the government then thinking they can control that religious education. But I do believe this case opens the door for the Matt Gaetz bill, which would allow prayer back into public schools. And that, to me, is a big deal. Back to the article, according to the attorneys, and this is the attorneys that are in support of the archdiocese here in this charter. According to the attorneys, denying the charter would amount to religious discrimination. That's very interesting. Phil Seckler is the senior counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, and he is defending the charter here. So he's telling the justices, you can participate in the charter school program, or you can practice your religion, but you can't do both. And so that's the question. You know, how come you can't do both here? Seckler said that Drummond's approach negates the charter school concept. And this is an interesting piece of defense here. He says, according to, Mr. Seckler said that charter schools, and again, Seckler is the defense attorney here for the charter schools. He says charter schools were developed to provide private individuals and groups, in this case, the Archdiocese, with the ability to determine what kind of education their children receive. So they are given much more latitude when it comes to curriculum, instructional methods, and activities. And this is true. This is why, you know, Hillsdale is able to set up these classical charter schools, because they're given, you know, it's to provide private individuals and groups with the ability to determine what kind of education their children are going to receive. And in the case of Hillsdale, you know, these private groups, these private entities want their kids to receive a classical education. And so they're given much more latitude when it comes to the curriculum that they can choose, their instructional methods and their activities, because it's set up in their charter. And so this is what, you know, this is Seckler's defense here. He says Drummond's view would bind all charter schools to the rule of government. The vice chief justice to the court here, this, I think it's the Supreme Court, right? Did this go to the Supreme Court? Yeah, this is at the Oklahoma Supreme Court. The vice chief justice, Dustin Rowe, asked Drummond about St. Anthony Hospital in Oklahoma City. St. Anthony was founded by Catholic nuns. The facility has crosses and other religious symbols throughout the buildings. It allows medical staff to pray with patients, and it promotes other religious activities, the justice makes note of. And then he points out, interestingly, that the hospital receives state and federal funds through various healthcare plans. And then he asks Drummond, so are we violating Article 2, Section 5 of the Constitution? Is this hospital, because it receives state money, taxpayer money? A hospital, mind you, founded by Catholic nuns, has Christian symbols throughout, allows for prayer. Is it, you know, are we doing the same thing here? Drummond said that it was not an apt comparison. He points out that the hospital receives its money from patients who are the direct beneficiaries of the public funding. And according to Drummond, this is the same principle as school vouchers. He said giving parents tax money via a school voucher to spend on education is not the same as giving tax money directly to the school. It's an interesting argument. It really is. This is an interesting case. I don't have time to dive into the rest of it. Maybe I will tomorrow, because this is something that we need to pay attention to and something that we really need to follow here. We're going to keep our eyes on this. To me, it's interesting, and I think it could be, it could open up the doors to some other potential good things. I think good things could potentially be afoot here in education. All right. That is all the time we have for today, America. Thank you for joining me yet again. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List. Let's unite to renovate the age.